We're going to call the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee to order. Welcome everyone to committee. Today we have a Bill House File 275 that we'll take up. But first, Representative Tice, have you reviewed the minutes and could you make a motion, please?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Representative Tice moves that we accept the minutes from January 22nd. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. On the agenda today, we have Representative O'Driscoll's House File 275 to bring before the committee. Welcome, Representative O'Driscoll, and make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to present this bill today. I move House File 275 before the committee, and the action I would like today would be to be laid open for possible inclusion in an omnibus elections bill that we're anticipating will happen in this committee this year.
Representative O'Driscoll moves that House File 275 be laid over for possible inclusion into the elections omnibus bill. Representative O'Driscoll, to your bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. As Chair Sanders has said, my name is Representative O'Driscoll, Tim O'Driscoll from 13B. And the bill that we have in front of us is really not a stranger to this committee. 2 years ago, when we had broken out the Government Operations and Elections Committees into two separate committees, we had heard this bill, and at that time, Representative Helverson, who is also a member of this committee and a co-author of this bill, carried the legislation, and I was a co-author on this bill, and Representatives Lane and Sanders were also members of the Elections Committee, and you'll notice that they are co-authors on this bill. The purpose and intent of House File 275 is to help us to provide clarification in investigations and prosecution as it relates to the potential of fraud, voter fraud in elections here in the state of Minnesota. Currently in state statute, if there's the detection of voter fraud, it's required that the county attorney's office for the respective 87 counties in the state of Minnesota, mandatory do an investigation, and then with that investigation, regardless of what evidence is found, to take it forward for prosecution in the district court system. We found out is that in a couple of instances that are of note, that an individual in particular had dementia, had voted absentee, and on the day of elections went in and voted as well. It was detected that there was that could be voter fraud. What happened was the county attorney's office, although not equipped to be able to do investigations, was required to do an investigation and be the prosecutorial authority in district court on this particular matter. The case literally got to the judge, and the judge said, "Why is this here? I'm dismissing this. This individual had dementia. We've got documented cases of this, and there was clearly not voter fraud that was here." That's why this bill is in front of us, to provide clarification on that. 2 years ago when we had this bill, the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, the Secretary of State's office, the League of Minnesota Cities, and others had said that the way that we've crafted the language that's before us today works well. What it does is it takes out of the county attorney's hands the duty of of doing an investigation, and puts it at the local level. So if there was voter fraud that was levied at the local level, the local police department would do an investigation, bring that evidence forward to the county attorney's office. If the fraud was detected at the or alleged at the county level, it would be brought forward to the county attorney's office after the sheriff's office had done an investigation. I believe that this is good legislation because it separates out the investigatory and prosecutorial endeavors to the two respective parties that are charged with and equipped with being able to do that. When we had put this measure in the omnibus bill 2 years ago, it was actually deleted because the Senate wasn't quite familiar or comfortable with the whole process of where things were at. And to expedite the bill 2 years ago, the elections bill, it was agreed that we would relieve or remove this provision from the omnibus bill so that the other provisions could go forward. Since this has still not been included in state law, and it is deemed by this committee anyhow in the past, that it's good public policy to move forward with having the law enforcement folks do the investigation, bringing the evidence to the county attorney's office for prosecution, and they could weigh the evidence and determine whether or not it's something that should be prosecuted. So if I go back to my example of the individual with dementia, there are provisions in state law that would say we would not prosecute this because clearly this was not a fraudulent situation. We would avoid cost in taxpayer dollars, we would avoid court time, and delaying the court process of bringing things that would otherwise be immediately dismissed. And so this bill provides that clarification. So, Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of anyone from any of the agencies or any of the other associations that are going to testify today. My hunch is that they still are comfortable because it is the same language, but certainly am open to testifiers as well as the Secretary of State's office may or may not have sent someone here to visit on this as well. I know that we've had a chance to visit with them, and they continue to endorse this. The current Secretary of State was the chair of the Elections Committee at the time, very familiar with this bill, and also endorsed it. I relay that to the committee as information, not as a spokesperson for the Secretary of State's office. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. So just to clarify, you're not aware of any opposition?
I am not aware of any opposition.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Members, do we have any questions on the bill or to the author? Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative O'Driscoll, for bringing this forward. It seems like a common sense bill. I just was wondering, obviously, the example that you gave us was a case where taxpayer dollars should not have been wasted, time should not have been wasted. I'm just wondering, anecdotally, if we have any idea, you know, statewide, how often this occurs. How much money is wasted? Is this a big problem? Is it a housekeeping thing more? I'm just wondering.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Seltzer. I don't have any quantitative information on that. I know that we talked about it again anecdotally when the Secretary of State, then Richie, was here and had a conversation on that. Part of what this bill does is, in my opinion, puts the purity back in the process in state law. You have investigation that would be done by law enforcement, and then you would have prosecution that's done by the county attorney's office. I hesitate to use this next example, but the way it's set up right now, the hen house is in being overseen by the fox, if you will, because you've got the investigatory responsibility in the county attorney's office, and you have the prosecutorial authority in the county attorney's office. What this does is this puts a disconnect, and I think gets more eyes on the topic, and then the county attorney's office, as they are oftentimes presented with cases from law enforcement, will decide whether there's enough information or evidence to move forward based on the global part of state law. Nothing's changing on that. We're just changing the provision that says you must, whenever there is fraud, go and prosecute on this, whether there's grounds for it or not, and that's what this law does. More specifically, we did talk about a couple of other issues where this happens. It doesn't happen every day, but we also thought that if it happens, county attorneys should have the ability to be able to say yes or no, there is enough information or fraud, versus the mandatory, you must go and prosecute, and then have the judge in the court system say, why are we cluttering up the docket with these kinds of things?
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other member questions or comments? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Sanders, or Mr. Chair. I guess the only question I had is not so much on the bill, because I agree with Representative O'Driscoll that it makes common sense to have some leeway in this and the laws. The bill's a good bill. The question I have more is for you, Mr. Chair. Procedural-wise, he said we're going to look at putting an omnibus bill together. And it's going forward, is that going to be all the non-controversial bills? Are we going to put controversial bills in there also? And I guess what's your thinking on this?
We will have probably one larger elections policy omnibus bill. It should be mostly non-controversial, if not all non-controversial. I know stated that we need bipartisan support. I've always had the threshold that we need broad bipartisan support. On anything that deals with elections policy or campaign finance related issues. So it would be my intention to work with you, Secretary of State as well, to make sure that any provisions that we put in this bill will be able to receive broad bipartisan support from both caucuses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I might.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Nelson's inquiry. Just for the record, there is no rulemaking provisions that would be found in this particular bill.
Duly noted.
For those who are new, that's a little closed caption between Representative Nelson and myself.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
If there was, it's in the right committee.
Good point. Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you can see, I'm on this bill, but I do notice that there's new language providing that the willful violation of the voter registration laws by a public employee is just cause for suspension without pay or dismissal. Could you speak to that?
Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair, what I think I'd like to do is I'd like to ask House Research Staff, Mr. Grayling, to help us on this. He's been very instrumental over the last couple of years and with bringing this back and helping us to craft the language. So if it's okay with the Chair, I'd like to defer that question, Mr. Grayling.
Mr. Gehring, are you prepared to be able to give an answer to that question?
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll and Representative Lane, the language is new language. It does provide that willful violation of all public employees related to voter registration laws would be just cause for suspension. I think in the negotiations in 2013, this was language that was part of the sort of package that the advocates put together and felt like that language would be workable for sort of all the stakeholders involved. One of the things that this bill is doing is removing existing language that provides that county attorneys shall forfeit their office if they fail to prosecute a violation. I think as part of the discussions, there's an agreement to include this language about suspension or dismissal if an individual willfully violates the chapter.
Representative Lane.
And could you just give us an example of what this might mean?
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lane, I suppose an example might be if there's a county auditor or some elections official that, say, accepted a voter registration application and then willfully changed data on the application or did something to violate any provision of the voter registration laws. As long as they do it willfully, so that means that they intentionally went into a document and changed a record, then that might trigger this paragraph. So in that case, if there was a violation found, then that particular employee could either be suspended or potentially dismissed from their position.
Representative Lane.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Any other member questions? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as a follow-up to Representative Lane's question, perhaps somebody could refresh my memory because I remember the discussions around this language, and it seems to me that there is similar language in another part of statute with regard to public employees. Does Mr. Gehring or the author recall? I'm seeming to remember that we were talking about some additional comfort language because I think that there is something similar in another chapter of law that covers public employees. But I could be mistaken. I'm trying to get caught back up to speed after a couple of years here.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair, once again, I would defer to House Research.
Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, Representative Halverson, I think that is correct that there is existing law, and I don't recall if it's based on case law or statute, that generally speaking, when public employees violate the law, that can be used as a basis for either suspending them or disciplining them or dismissing them in some way. But I'd have to get back to you on the specific statute that would apply.
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Gehring, I think that would be helpful to get some specifics around that. So thank you.
Thank you. And Representative O'Driscoll, if you could help make sure that the loop is closed
on that. Mr. Chair, if I also might add to that, my intentions on this are the spirit of what we're looking at, and if there's language that we need to craft to be able to get this right, I am very open to that, as was Representative Halverson 2 years ago when she carried this bill as well. So just
great.
For the record.
Yeah, and we will be laying the bill over, so if we need additional language on there, let's make sure we handle it here. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative O'Driscoll, are the county attorneys totally okay with 23 and 24? My concern is that almost says that somebody could have them suspended or something if they claim that the county, it does say that it's up to the county attorney to use applicable standards of prosecutorial functions. Every time the county attorney decides to charge or not a case, not every time, but there's often cases that are in that realm of, is this really a violation of the law or not, or is this serious enough to really charge it, things like that. I'm just wondering if 23 and 24 leaves them open to an override of the previous language, which I agreed with, which was that leave it up to them.
Thank you, Representative Mulley. Looks like Ms. Haas may have an answer for that as well. Representative O'Driscoll, you can take the first stab, and then Ms. Haas, you can introduce yourself for the record.
Presence by my side. That would be maybe helpful. So I will refer to
call a friend.
Yeah,
excellent.
Phone a friend method up here at committee.
Welcome both to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Nancy Haas with Messerly and Kramer, here on behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association.
And Ben Schweigert with the Hennepin County Attorney's Office.
On behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, although we have not chatted with Representative O'Driscoll this year, moving in this direction is definitely something our association does support. As it relates to the specific question on 23 and 24, I think from our perspective, it's better than lines 1.119 through 1.22. To the extent that we have further discussions to make sure that the language on 23 and 24 represents an understanding of what else is in statute, we'd be happy to work with the committee and with the author on that.
Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
And for those in the public who do not have the bill perhaps right in front of them, what the testifier is referring to is the struck language that's in statute right now and is referencing the replacement language that I heard her say that's better and that you'd like to continue to work with us on it, which is what I want to do, and that's why I want to have the bill laid over so that we get the right language and that we don't have to be coming back here in 2 years and saying, well, once again, it got jettisoned from the bill because we didn't have the right comfort level on that. So that's why we're here early on.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative O'Driscoll, I didn't hear them say they're in love with that. I think, obviously, it's better than 119 through 122, which doesn't make any sense. But this shouldn't be any different from any other case that the county attorney is facing. Every day they face issues of what to charge and how to charge it and things like that. This isn't any different from that. It's not an offense against God or whatever. I hope you'll go far toward... I see real danger in that language still. So I don't see any reason to have any kind of language in there other than just the county attorney should perform their duty just like they do on every other case.
Sure. Representative O'Driscoll.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Mullery. It is not my intention to try to hamstring the county attorney's office on this. As a matter of fact, I'm picking this up because the county attorneys had questions with us, so I'm friendly to the county attorneys on this and sympathetic to the disposition they find themselves in under current law. I want to help correct that with them.
Any other member questions or comments? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on behalf of this bill, for or against? Seeing none, Representative O'Driscoll, do you have any final comments on your bill?
Mr. Chair, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to provide clarification on this bill and for possible inclusion. So I'd like to renew my motion, if it's appropriate at this time, that House File 275 be laid over at this committee for possible inclusion in an anticipated omnibus bill from this committee.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. House File 275 is laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or for further action. Members,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That concludes the business that we have before the committee. Any questions or comments from the members before we adjourn? Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm new to this committee, and I'm aware that 3 or 4 years ago there was quite a body of litigation regarding violation of voter election laws and so on. And I just wonder if we'll have any sort of opportunity to hear, you know, where we're at in terms of that and sort of the conclusions in terms of whether this was handled correctly or where there are still a lot of open-ended issues with regard to possible voter fraud.
Sure. Thank you, Representative Rumbach. We can certainly take a look and find out what the status of those are and see how we can best get you the information to you and the committee.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
If not,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would that be some information we get from the Secretary of State's office? Because ultimately, aren't they responsible for that?
Yes, Representative Nelson. I'll work with you and Mr. Gehring as well to make sure that we have appropriate information from valid sources, and we'll certainly share that with the committee. With that, we do have a meeting tomorrow, members. We're hearing from several groups tomorrow to get us caught up to speed on their issues. And with that, members, we are adjourned.